From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council has tightened its public comment policies, citing as reasons profanity and personal attacks in recent comments. In a way, the council was a victim of their own progress. Accounts on Facebook and Reddit posted links to their new online comment portal, with a predictable deluge of sometimes uninformed comments. Here is North Pacific Fisheries Management Council Executive Director David Witherell.
Really, you know, when I started, we got them by mail. You had to put them in the regular mail, put a stamp on your letter and mail them to the council. And, you know, and then, of course, we opened up an email portal and making it easier for people to email their comments in. And now we have this direct comment portal for people to just, you know, click the button and send us your comments. And that's all great. It makes it really easy for people to comment, and it makes it easy for people to review the comments. But it also means that the step of the staff sorting through the comments, putting them in the right agenda order, and taking those out that you know, maybe very vulgar and profane language, we didn't do that anymore. And even though it's been since 2018 when we opened up that comment portal, we haven't had that problem. We haven't had to face that problem of profanity and vulgar language until this last meeting.
The changes include shortening the comment period by A, not allowing any comments to be submitted until all documents are available online, and B, closing the comment period earlier to allow staff to sort through them. It's possible an automated program would be used to verify emails and filter profanity. Also, no comments would be made public until after the deadline closes and after all comments had been scrutinized by staff. So comments tossed out by staff will never be seen either by the public or by the council.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen. Help Madsen clean up Kodiak on May 8th.
If only there was an easy-to-understand and compelling analogy for this situation. This is David Bays, frequent commenter on bycatch issues.
So if you imagine that instead of this being a government organization, it was a private business, and instead of these being public comments, they were Yelp reviews. So if a private business had all these, you know, 350 out of 450 reviews were negative, you know, they would have two routes. Either they could try and get Yelp to remove all the negative reviews, or they could change something within their business to try and make a correction, you know, to stop making these people angry or unhappy. And it, you know, we know what the answer would be for a private business is that if they were going to continue, they have to change something because their patrons, as it were, are extremely unhappy with what they're doing, but due to the dynamics of this organization, they don't really have to change if they don't want to. And, you know, so instead of reducing bycatch as rapidly as they could, they're asking Yelp to take down the reviews in a way, you know. So.
Okay, but some of these Yelp reviews featured cursing, threatening language, and personal attacks, and were fairly devoid of any real comment other than that. You can kind of see the council's concern here.
They are concerned that the public comment section is turning into a joke, and the reason for that is because we think their action on bycatch is a joke. You know, the frivolous and sarcastic comments, those aren't anybody's strategy, you know, A, B, or C. A lot of people have been in this for 30 plus years, and they've tried, you know, they've been members of associations, and those associations have paid lawyers to write these polished 30-page letters that are perfect and they conform to what the council wants, you know, but that hasn't been effective. And so these people are down to, they're frustrated and sad and angry, and they've gone through the proper steps, and this is what they're left, you know, is to leave a snarky comment. But that doesn't mean that they're not stakeholders and that they haven't tried to conform. It's just that conforming to the process has been ineffective. So, and people feel like that's the corner they've been put into, you know. You know, and the other thing is that it sets up this interesting difference in a person who submits a public comment versus a person who goes to the meeting in person. So say that they're going to, on the first day of the meetings, they're going to release all these comments. If somebody's at those meetings and they're going to be there for the full 2 weeks, they get to read through what everybody says, digest it, form rebuttals, you know, for weeks at a time. And then at the end of that, give their polished in-person comment. But the people that write in a comment ahead of time, if they don't post those comments immediately, they're at a disadvantage, essentially. And a lot of that disadvantage is a result of them not being able to afford to go to those meetings, or not having, you know, whether being afford means in terms of money or time.
One thing that you miss by not being there in person is to talk to people in the hallways and more informally, where they just give you information that's very useful.
Yeah, you know, and I think that had been a comment from someone on the council, is that, I mean, that bumping elbows in the hallway and going out to dinner and going out for drinks and stuff, you know, between stakeholders and industry members and the council, is, there's a certain subsect of people who can afford to do that. And the argument is, are they at an advantage in this process? You know, I know that the council gets frustrated that people aren't more in tune with the intricacies of what's going on in the process, as they call it. But the dynamic of this is that very few people, especially fishermen, can afford, you know, 2 months of their life and $14,000 to follow along on this. And a lot of people have been intimidated that, you know, over the years, that if they're not going to every meeting, that maybe they don't deserve to comment, or they try and comment and somebody says, you don't know what you're talking about, shut up, you know. And we're finally getting them to reengage a little bit and start leaving these comments. But now we're getting a pushback that, well, we wanted public comments, but not those public comments. From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
I asked David Bays how he would prefer the council respond to inappropriate comments.
I don't think it should be altered at all, would be my first preference. But if it came down to where something was going to change, I could see where maybe the staff would have the discretion to, you know, it would become like a junk file in our email. You know, staff could say that, yes, this applies to it. But these comments don't. So these comments are going to be put into our junk file. But when something goes in your junk file, it doesn't get deleted. You know, you can still look at it and you can determine whether or not it should actually be in the junk file. So it's just when we get to deleting where it becomes a problem. But they could be put in a different file, and that could be passed on to the council with a grain of salt, you know, that, hey, we didn't think this is relevant, but this is somebody's opinion, so you guys should look at it. And It's just when things are deleted completely that it gets scary, I guess you could say. If somebody was going to edit comments, they could go in with a, you see it on, you know, like a redacted portion, essentially. Somebody could go in there with a black pen and mark out cuss words, you know, or there could be a junk file that says, hey, these, you know, if you're under 18, you shouldn't read these comments. But they still need to exist, and there needs to be a record of them, because theoretically, buried in 100 cuss words, there could be this, you know, breakthrough strategy on how to manage a fishery. On this last round, you know, a couple of them were two-word F you, and so, yeah, that's irrelevant, and you can delete that or black it out or something, but a lot of them were half-page messages, you know, with a lot of feeling and a lot of good information from a stakeholder, and but a single cuss word, you know, and so that one got deleted. And that's, we're dealing with fishermen here, you know, and I don't know. I think that they like the real polished letters that they get, like from a lawyer, you know, but that's not necessarily representative of the group which they represent. So it's,
yeah, generally, if you delete every cuss word from what a fisherman has to say, he doesn't make much sense.
Well, they don't make much sense anyways. But,
right.
But yeah.
And in fact, one of the deleted comments was a reasoned argument to the effect that the tourism industry and the lucrative and vital salmon and halibut fisheries should be considered at least on an even footing with the trawl fisheries. And then the commenter ended with the most fantastic turn of phrase I've heard all year, which was this, quote, I don't give a cinnamon toast fill in the blank about the needs of the trawl fishery. It's kind of a shame that didn't make their packet. But I have been assured that the present policy could be revisited at the next meeting and altered just as quickly. Maybe it will be, too, if there's enough compelling comment about comment. And remember, folks, keep it clean.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Can you hear me?
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, which recognizes the importance of Alaska's sustainable fisheries to the state's economy.